Hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going today? Last week, you were a little under the weather. I think if anybody runs that episode back, they'll definitely see that. I took it easy on you last week. Didn't mention it on the air, so thank you for powering through. You really hung in there for us last week. Hope you're doing better. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm well. I had just a case of the man flu, you know, which all men know is way worse than anything else anyone gets. So I'm over it. Glad to be back. And Jason, I have to say, I appreciate you not throwing that out, because I know that's one of your favorite things to do, is when someone's under the weather, just like, they say, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry you're not feeling good and you're not at your best. You know, just kind of like just like a below the belt kind of punch. So
Or when they're not under the weather.
Yeah, that's even the better
strategy. Yeah. Well, Chris, I got to say, we were talking before the show. You seem exactly like you're back to yourself. So
I'm
glad you're doing well.
100%
and,
jerk.
Fully healed.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about 4 data columns in Google Ads. Before the show, we couldn't really decide whether we should say they're columns you have to understand, columns that you may not focus on too much or something. But
basically behind the
columns,
scenes.
I think they little of everything. That some columns that people ask a lot about that they don't understand, some columns that are underused, and some columns that we've never talked about it on the show. But here we are today talking about it, because when you dig inside of Google Ads, there's a lot of interesting data that you can get. So we wanted to share some interesting things with you. Going to kick it off with a 5-star review. And then, you know, we wouldn't want the show to go longer than it goes every single week. So we're going to get through that quickly. Then we'll talk about Opteo. And then we'll promote something. Then we'll get into the news.
That's a solid outline.
For a few minutes, make you a little bit nervous. And then we will get into the show. So 5 stars from Josh from my favorite country, the United States of America. Great resource. 5 stars. A good balance between basic info. Thank you for that, Chris. And more advanced techniques. You're welcome for that, Josh. A good listen for folks who feel like they have a good grasp of what AdWords or Google Ads is, but need some help taking it to the next level. Chris, we get this kind of comment a lot about the show. It's good for everybody. It's good for people who are just getting into Google Ads, want to get a resource and learn, and also for people who have been doing it for years and years to stay sharp and learn more. So great review there, and excited for today's show. Please leave us a review. We ask for that on Apple Podcasts or any podcast platform that you listen to. So, Chris.
Yeah, it's the fuel that I use to get Jason back in front of the microphone. I mean, it's a crying, blubbering fit until I show him that people love him, they want him, they miss him. You guys don't understand. It's a struggle. He reaches a pit of sadness that, you know, oh, there hasn't been any 5-star reviews. People don't like it. They don't care. And then one will pop up, and that's why we're here every week. So it's very important that you leave those.
Yeah, definitely. So thanks, Chris. Let's talk about Opteo for a minute, and then we will get into the show.
Opteo is a wonderful online tool to help you get more done in Google Ads. And today I want to give you one more reason among the many about why it is a superior tool. We're going to talk about columns. We're going to talk about data in Google Ads. And one thing that Opteo does phenomenally well is the visualization of the columns, of the metrics in Google Ads. And, you know, we're talking a lot about hidden columns, columns that aren't used very much, columns that have a lot of mystery behind them. You know, one thing that does not exist anywhere is a visualization of your quality score. You know, looking at components of ad relevance, landing page experience, expected CTR, stuff like that, and checking your progress through time is something that does not exist in the standard UI of Google Ads. Opteo does this and a million more things. It is a wonderful tool that you'll continue to discover and find new things all the time. We encourage you to try it out. The link is in the description of the podcast here, and you can try it for free for 8 weeks. Wonderful tool. We highly recommend it. No cost to try it for a solid 2 months. See how much it improves the management for your clients and for your own company.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So I just want to give everyone a reminder to also go to paidsearchpodcast.substack.com. We have a weekly newsletter now for this show. Give you kind of the most important thing from that week's episode every Monday in your inbox, and also remind you about the show. So thanks for signing up there. A lot of people are signing up, and we appreciate that free newsletter. So, Chris, we have some news this week. We haven't had news in a long time, but I thought it's something we both would want to, talk about. Facebook stock is down over 25% today. they've lost in the last, at this time, the market's still open, but it's down 26%, so I wouldn't want to be inaccurate about anything, you know? Got to totally be accurate and fact check myself here, 26%, not 25%. In terms of market cap lost, wealth lost, we're looking at $200 billion, over $200 billion in the last 24 hours.
Mm.
They put out an earnings report, and they're struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
And as someone who's used Facebook a little bit, I have definitely seen that over the years. Right now, I'm doing a special project for a client trying to get up on Facebook, and it's a nightmare to get approved in certain areas and be able to run. They've also taken many targeting options away. Just myself today, you know what I did, Chris, before the show? I went on Facebook and I said, no, I don't want to be targeted in personalized ads for this topic, that topic, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to share my data when I go to different websites. And for some reason, they let you turn all that off. And so I don't know why they do that, but things are not going good over there right now. Why am I bringing this up on our show? Because the amount of crapola that Chris and I have had to hear through our two ears over the years about clients telling us, or not clients, but people telling us like, hey, you know, on Facebook, I was getting a 125% conversion rate, like over 100%. I was getting more than a conversion every time I got a click.
Yeah.
Why am I not getting that? Why am I only getting a 25% conversion in Google Ads? You know, on Facebook, my cost per lead was 17 cents.
Right.
And my value when I get a new customer is $17 billion.
Right.
So
amazing.
Why in Google Ads is it $17? Chris, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can you relate to me here?
That's the reason when you announced the headline of the news, that's why my first reaction was to laugh, is because, not because I don't care about people that might be affected by this, but because that you're bringing that up as a news item, because it is a sore spot. You know, it is something that, you know, we preached, and, you know, it's like we heard over and over about this is some kind of miracle cure. You can, you know,
a lot of engagement. We're getting a lot of engagement, Chris. How come we're not getting engagement on Google Ads on 3 out of our 4 clicks? How come only 1 out of 4 clicks turns into a customer for us? We want more engagement.
Right. And the cost per click, you know, comparisons.
Haven't been hearing that too much, by the way, lately. Haven't been hearing that too much. Been hearing a lot of, oh, Facebook lost privacy with Apple. Now our clients are coming over to Google Ads. Can you help us, Jason? Can you help us, Jason? Of course I can help you. I've been helping you. And I'm still here helping you, okay? Because Google Ads works. It's a stronger product. You get in front of people that are searching for exactly what you offer. How can you beat that? You can't beat that. And that's been proven in the last 24 hours. Chris, have I said it all, or do you have anything else to say?
I absolutely have heard that same thing a ton. That's the only, I'll confirm, I get a lot of new clients now that are saying we were doing Facebook and now we're needing to ramp up our Google Ads to make up for the fact that Facebook is just falling off. So yeah, you're exactly right. I totally agree. And no one can yell it better than you, Jason.
Okay, Chris. So, you know, got that out of the way here. Just wanted to share with you, that's a lot of money lost in a day. And hey, they still got, I don't know, a billion, 2 billion users.
Hey, they still got the metaverse. The metaverse, I hear, is...
Yeah, the metaverse.
It's going to be great.
Okay, Chris. So we got 4 columns in Google Ads. The first one was one you wanted to bring to the table here.
Yes.
Optimization score. Why don't you just kick us off with it? Why'd you bring this to the table? You told me you were hearing a lot about it from clients, a lot of questions.
Yeah. So I'm sure many of you know what this is, but you know, the main question is, what does it mean? How important is it? And just a few facts that Google lays out in the help document. So we're talking about the optimization score. It's a bar that you see very often going across the top of your Google Ads campaigns. And it could range from 100% down to 1%, you know. And this, according to the help documents, is an estimate of how well your Google Ads account is set to perform. Okay, so it's not an estimate of, you know, how many conversions or how cheap your cost per click is. It's a huge consideration across a wide scope of things. And there's a lot of information that Google gives in this help document, but and I wanna boil it all down to this. You know, the problem that it is trying to solve is it's trying to give advertisers an idea of, am I doing a good job, right? Jason, you know, the number one question when you talk to clients, you know, they're like, are we doing good? You know, they want to know, is this a good click-through rate? What's a good conversion rate, right? Yeah, you want to know how you're doing and then compare that. What about your other clients? You know, how does that compare with other clients? They want to know. So this is Google's answer to that. The problem it solves is trying to answer that, give people an understanding of, you know, where they stand. The problem, and I think what a lot of people misunderstand is, if you're not using a goal that properly defines what you're trying to do in Google Ads, this optimization score may be very, very low. For example, it defines the optimization score is decided upon the fully automated smart bidding strategy that you have chosen. Okay, so if you've chosen clicks as your fully automated strategy for that campaign, you will be judged on the efficiency of getting clicks. If you've chosen conversions, it's going to be judging that optimization score based on the number of conversions and the conversion optimization that you've been doing on this. And if you don't, which Jason and I don't necessarily use a whole lot of those, you know, we don't use a whole lot of automated bid strategies. If you don't, it's going to use the automated bid strategy that it has artificially decided for you. So if it thinks you need to use max clicks or maximize conversions or something like that, it's going to use that as a standard to say, how far are you to that point? And that was news to me. You know, when I broke down this article, you know, it's a surprise because it's basing it on what it thinks you should be doing and then judging you on that standard. So, you know, that if you're using, you know, it's something to consider. If, you know, if the optimization score is something that's important to you, consider that score and that decision is based upon that smart bidding strategy that you have used or that Google's recommending to you. You know, it can be a big factor. So is that a surprise to you, Jason? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like you're saying, optimization score can help advertisers, I don't know if you would call them new advertisers or if you're new to an industry or have a new campaign, kind of let you know where you stand. That's a usage of it. So because of that, I kind of feel like I know where I stand pretty often. So I'm not looking at it on all campaigns. So I haven't delved into it too deeply, but like you, I do hear about it a lot from clients. You know, why am I at 73%? Why am I at 100%? Why am I at 50%? And we kind of go into those recommendations and we decide which ones are relevant to our campaign or not relevant to our campaign and apply or dismiss based on that. But yeah, looking into it, I had not seen before that it was, and by the way, we'll have links to all this documentation in our show notes for all these columns, but I had not seen before that they were recommendations and optimization scores based on your bidding strategy. It's very interesting that that takes up such a big measure of what they're trying to do.
The automated bid strategy. So for Jason and I, we use largely manual bids. So it's important to note that it's not considering my manual bid strategy to see if I'm doing a good job of manually bidding or even generating conversions. It's going to choose based on what it recommends as an automated bid strategy and then judge me on that. which is pretty insane to me.
Yeah, and if you're not running one of these smart bidding strategies, they look at your quote account and campaign data and then make recommendations based on that. So one example of this is if you're doing a smart bidding strategy and your goal is max conversions or the most conversions possible or just conversion focused, they might recommend to you like, hey, you don't have search partners turned on. Why don't you turn that on? Because in the system's mind, they're like, oh, they want conversions. They're conversion focused for a lot of conversions. You could get more if you run on search partners because you could get more traffic. That's the start to the story. That's a recommendation. But then you go into it and maybe you turn that on, or maybe you've had it on in the past, and you break down campaign level search networks, including partners, and then, or part networks, including search partners. And then you see actually what your conversion data is like at the search partners level. And then you decide for yourself if you want to keep that on or not. So it's definitely a starting point, and I can definitely see this being very, very helpful to new advertisers. But just judge the recommendations for yourself and see if they're a good fit for your campaign. Biggest question I get about optimization score, Chris, is optimization score relevant or related to quality score? And do you have a take on that? And if you don't, I preload my questions with knowledge that I am extremely familiar with. So I'm happy to take that one for myself.
I mean, I've read through all the documentation on optimization score, and it says nothing about a connection. So merely on the lack of authority that they provide, since they don't say it directly affects your quality score or your positions, it never talks about ranking or auctions or anything. So the fact that it only relates to communicating from Google to you, there is no connection as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the most recent verbiage that they're using, they say optimization score is shown for active so-and-so campaigns. It's not used by your quality score. Quality score is a diagnostic tool meant to give you a sense of how well your ad quality compares to other advertisers. While both scores are meant to provide actionable feedback to help improve the effectiveness of campaigns, optimization score provides a more holistic view of your account's health. So, not very clear. I think the one thing we can, I guess, believe going forward is that optimization score does not affect your quality score. And I would add to that comma, I hope. That's what it seems to be saying. But then they seem to really like the optimization score because they say, well, both are meant to provide actionable feedback and improve effectiveness. Optimization score provides a more holistic view of your account's health. Hey, maybe that's what we've been getting at over the years, where maybe one keyword, don't get caught up on quality score on one keyword. Look at how things are doing overall. But for me, Chris, right now, I am not worried about optimization score affecting my quality score.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Okay, so Chris, the next column here, relative CTR. Open and honest here on the Paid Search Podcast. I had not heard the terms relative CTR in years and years and years.
Oh, in years.
Is this one that, well, I don't want to say never because that sounds bad, but I don't want to say recently because we're being open and honest. Is this one you went digging for before we define it and talk about what it does, or is this one you kind of look at on an ongoing basis for clients?
No, it is. It's merely something that I get questions about when I do training, consulting. It's something that I'm aware of. I never use because it's a question. It answers a question that I never really ask or care about. So let's define it. Relative CTR is, first of all, only for display campaigns. So it's not...
First of all, this will make sense in a few minutes when you define this. All that sounds like a guy who's never put a $50 bid on a remarketing ad, which I've done.
That's true.
Because I like this relative CTR thing. Now that I've read up on it, I'm going to start using it. But that'll make sense in a minute.
Okay. So
$50.
And that'll be a good discussion because I have differing opinions on even if you do bid $50 for remarketing, I still have differing opinions. So let's go with this. So relative CTR measures how your display ad runs on the display network. So your ad on the display network is going to receive clicks, and the percentage of clicks that it gets compared to the number of impressions, that's going to give you a click-through rate. Now, if you've ever run display campaigns, you know click-through rate for the display network is very, very low. And so unlike the search network, it's very hard to tell, you know, is 0.02 a good click-through rate for my display campaign, you know? And it's basically impossible to know, you know, how you stand, because sometimes it may be really high and that might be a bad thing. Maybe you're getting a lot of clicks on some toddler app, you know, that's, you know, has a great click-through rate and you actually don't want that, you know? So it's hard to judge. What Relative CTR does is it gives you an understanding of where you stand compared to others. So others that are doing the same kind of targeting, the same kind of strategy as you on the display.
Same websites. Whose ads appeared on the same websites.
Right. So you're ending up in the same websites. How does your CTR compare to their CTR? How does your click-through rate percentage compare to theirs? So if it's a relative CTR and you are at their same level, if you are maintaining the status quo of what everybody else is doing, you have a 1 CTR, right? And then if it's below, it's going to be below 1. If you're above average, it's going to be a 1 point or above, you know, 1.1, 1.2, or you know, a 3.4, something like that, if you have a much higher CTR. So that is what it is. That's what it defines, and that's the problem it solves. But I think this is a much more interesting question. As you brought up, Jason, does CTR matter for display?
Yes, I think it does. I think it does, because one thing we'll talk about later are view-through conversions, and I'm able to not only get conversions, but also view-through conversions through some remarketing display campaigns. Sometimes I've also, it's rare, but it does happen, I had some home runs on placements on the display network. And if you're getting conversions, you want to get more conversions. You can't get the conversions, at least non-view through, but real convert or straightforward conversions without the click first. And I want to get more clicks if I'm getting conversions. So I want to know what we've done that song before by Joe on this show. I'm not going to say it today, but he wants to know, you know, what you know, on Chris. Yeah.
So
I'd love to sing that song to you, but we won't do it on the show. But Chris, I want to know how I stack up to compares. I want to know if my 0.2% click-through rate on a remarketing ad is good. And if I put the time in to make more ads or bid more, will I actually get more, or am I already crushing it on the websites I show up on? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I understand, and I agree there is some value in knowing CTR, but I'll tell you, I still stand by the fact that I do not judge the success of my display campaigns at all with CTR. For display, I do not feel that image or ad interaction is a factor of success, because my success is actually at a much lower level. It's just about either branding or awareness or traffic. And because the inventory of people that can see the ad is astronomically high compared to search, I can reach a million people, you know, get a million impressions in a couple days if I wanted to. Because of that, I don't measure it on how much interaction I get. I just measure it on the reach. That's the only thing that matters to me. Search, absolutely, click-through rate matters. For display, Okay. That's not how I measure it. So, hey, we could have a...
What do you want me to do here? Do you want me to tear that apart in public? Or do you want me to just nod and say, okay, well, I think differently?
There's no poking that theory. I mean, it's solid.
Do you want me to answer or not, Chris?
Go ahead.
You said, so what are the goals of display campaigns? What can the goals be? You mentioned them earlier, so I'm just being consistent with what you said. You said awareness,
branding.
You said branding
and traffic,
and you also said the word traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you this: for display campaigns, most of the time, the more common goals are awareness and branding. Fine. But sometimes the primary goal from a display campaign, be it a super smart placement campaign or a remarketing campaign, sometimes the goal is traffic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what will get you more, if that's the goal, you want more traffic. So you get more traffic with the click-through rate. Maybe you want to loosen up on that stance there, or you can just let it sit, because I think think I just made a pretty clear point.
See, okay. So I agree, it is a clear point, but it's straight clear to the mud below it because it's still crap. The thing is, you can compare your own click-through rate. If you want to get more traffic, just create ads that provide a better click-through for you. Relatively,
Not to interrupt, but
you did.
I don't think I just did. But you did. Well, you stopped talking, so I don't think
I interrupted. I took a
you
breath. That's called breathing.
You stopped talking.
Okay.
Chris, on a search campaign
mm-hmm.
where you've got tons of just historical information, tons of experience, knowing what's possible with click-through rates in different industries in your account. But you go over to the display network, just like we said at the top of this segment, what's a good click-through rate on a placement display campaign? What's a good click-through rate on a remarketing campaign? You don't know those numbers. I don't know those numbers. Nobody knows those numbers. They vary so relative. Much.
Yeah.
So if I'm looking at my 0.2% click-through rate and I'm trying to decide, is this worth a massive ad test? Well, let me see how I stack up versus other people on the websites I show up on. And if my, which is, by the way, it's kind of frustrating, but they give the relative CTR in the example, they give it as a number, like less than one, over one. In reality, in the account, they give it as a percentage. So if my percentage is at 20% and my click-through rate of 0.2 versus other people's denominator, the click-through rate on these websites of 1%, I'm at 20% as good as them. I want to know that because that means I've got plenty of room for mm-hmm. improvement and it's possible to raise it up. So that's the way I'm looking at it. Not to say I'm married to relative CTR. I told you at the top of the segment, it's not something I've looked into hardly ever, but we stumbled across it on the great podcast here, and it is something I'm going to be using on my display campaigns.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I won that.
All right. I think you need to dance for me. The loser has to dance. There's no winners. There's no winners in love.
I didn't.
There's no winners in love. There's just togetherness. So we're going to take a slow dance this time.
Okay, slow dance.
We're going to have to decide who leads. Whose hand?
No, I'm...
Does that mean your hand's on mm-hmm. my lower back and my hip mm-hmm. and mine's on your shoulders?
Yep. Yeah.
Or is it... Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I got big feet. Just watch out, buddy.
I'm leading.
Okay, so let's do our slow dance and we'll be back right after this break.
Welcome back, listeners. We have two more wonderful columns we want to bring to your attention. But first, I want to bring Optio back to your mind, because if you have not checked it out, it is the time to do it. It's a new year. You've got a fresh start. You've got time to turn things around, get some amazing performance running for your clients or your business. Everyone has the same issue. We're all limited by time. You only have so much time to manage your campaigns, and you only have so much knowledge that you can put into your metrics and your columns, because sometimes you just don't know the questions to ask. This is the tool that saves you both time and presses you on key issues that are important to your accounts. It customizes your suggestions to help you stay on top of all the things that you need to do in your account. Optio.com/PSP. Get an 8-week free trial. Try the whole thing out. Then you can come back and say, you know what, Chris, you were right. Amazing tool. I signed up. You're going to love it. Guaranteed. Optio.com/PSP.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. So let's talk about another column here, near and dear to my heart, conversion value over cost. Oh, also
beautiful.
Known as ROAS or ROI, return on investment. Conversion value over cost estimates your return on investment. It's calculated by, it's very simple. It's calculated by dividing your total conversion value by the total cost of all your ad interactions, all the clicks you paid for. So it's very simple to understand. Of the conversions I got, they're each worth a certain value. If you've decided to put a conversion value inside the account, say your conversion value is $100, you get 10 conversions, 10 times 100 is $1,000. So you have $1,000 of conversion value. If it costs you $500 to get those 10 conversions, that's your denominator. $1,000 value divided by $500 of ad spend, a return of two.
Two. Yep.
Conversion value over cost.
So you made, if it's a two, that means you made $2 for every dollar you spent. That's kind of the easy way that I like to explain it. But yeah, great, very important.
It's very important. It's very simple. But the key thing here is the inputs that are going into those numbers. The bottom number, the denominator, the cost, the divided by cost, that's very simple and you can't mess it up. You can see it. Trust me, Google's going to make sure that one's correct. Mm, okay.
Yeah.
The cost column is Google calculates that, your cost per click times your clicks.
Yeah.
They're not messing that one up. You're going to know what your cost is. You can't mess it up. But the what goes into the denominator, you could mess it up a bunch of different ways. Because not only do you have to have the right conversions going into that number, you have to be tracking the conversions. You have to be tracking all your conversions. Or if you don't track them all, know what you're not tracking. You have to be tracking conversions in that conversion column that actually matter as conversions, not stuff that should go in all conversions that aren't actually leads or sales. And then on top of that, you have to judge the value of each conversion. And so I think there's more to that conversation than we can fit in
this
segment, Chris.
Yeah.
But there's so many ways people can mess up. So you have to be super accurate with that stuff. But let me ask you this. For the times when you are accurate, when your conversion values you've assigned are accurate, when your conversion tracking is accurate, and you're getting a real ROAS number, a real conversion value over cost, and can actually look at that column and know that it's true, the problem it solves is, am I making money? And if I'm making money, how much money am I making? My question to you, is there anything more powerful inside of a Google Ads account than a true conversion value over cost column? For you as a manager?
No, absolutely not. It is, I know we've done entire shows, I think we've done multiple shows dedicated to this one thing. It is the gold standard of Google Ads management. If you have a conversion value over cost number in your account, you are managing to the gold standard of where you need to be managing, especially if it's correct. You could have a conversion value over cost and it could be wrong, and then, you know, your anchor point is way off and you have a gold standard, but it's actually a very crap standard. But as long as it's correct, oh man, absolutely the most important thing to manage your campaign for.
Yeah. And so we'll leave it at there for this one, but just know that when it's right and accurate, it's the most powerful thing that you can do inside of a Google Ads account. And if it's not accurate, you can lay off. Chris, when we don't have all the conversion value data, or when we don't have all the conversion data, I don't look at the ROAS column because it can lead to really bad decisions if you're misusing it.
Yep.
So let's close here, Chris. View through conversions. Were you surprised I brought this to the table? Let me know and kind of tell the people what it is.
I was surprised to see that you wanted to bring this up, it's absolutely something that is under the radar for most people. I think that's, you know, this is a very common question I get for reports that I send out to clients. I send this out and I usually contain view through conversions in my reports. And they often say, I see this conversion, then I see this conversion. You know, why aren't those numbers the same? And then I have to explain what a view through conversion is. And very briefly, I'll explain it this way. Number one about view-through conversions is they only happen on display networks. They're not going to happen on search, period, because of the nature of what a view-through conversion is. So a view-through conversion is when someone sees but does not act on an ad. So they see your ad on the display network. They see your ad. There is an impression. There is a view. And then when they go to your site through some non-paid method, with as far as Google Ads is concerned, they don't click on a brand search. They don't click on a non-brand search. They don't click on any other display campaign. The fact that it's a view-through conversion means that they saw it and then they went to your site some other way and converted. They may have clicked organically on your website. They may have searched for your company name in a separate browser tab and then gone to your website and converted that way. That would then track as a view through conversion, because they saw it, then they converted some other method. The one thing that it solves is to know what Jason's talking about. It gives you a standard at which you can show success of your remarketing. Since CTR doesn't matter, as we firmly established before I had to dance Jason around like a monkey, you need something to know that you are at least doing something with your campaigns. Your remarketing campaign, your display
never,
campaign.
You never know what props I got here, Chris.
Monkey's got his banana. That's right. You need to, and that tells you that people are seeing it and converting. So if you're running a remarketing campaign with a high number of view-through conversions, bam, you're getting people to remember about what you do, and then they come back to your site and they convert. Wonderful process to see happening, because a view-through conversion costs you $0. That's the best part. It costs you nothing.
Well, to be fair, if you're running on YouTube, on display, you'll get clicks at some point. You'll get cost per view at some point. But I get what you're saying on that, they're not going to click in that time. Couple interesting things we had found, Chris, digging into this. View-through conversions automatically exclude conversions from people who've also interacted with any of your other ads. So yes, like you were saying, if they see your video, if they see your display ad and then click on a search ad or click on an actual ad and click, even if it's a display ad, then and convert, that'll no longer be a view-through conversion. It'll be a conversion. Time when you set up your conversions, Chris, for the view-through conversion window is very important. So everyone needs to take a look at that. Another interesting thing, view-through conversions from browsers that don't allow cross-site cookies cannot be reported. Do I understand that fully? No. I've chosen not to go down the cookie road, other than if I can't dip my hand in it, I'm not going to be talking about a cookie jar that's imaginary. But obviously, there's a ton of different stuff going on around with cookies, and they were going to become less important, and then there was a backlash, and now they're still in there. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that affects things. But Chris, the problem it solves here, it's proof. It can provide proof that a remarketing, a display, meaning display ads other than remarketing, or even a YouTube campaign is working. It's proof that it's working. And I've talked about before, when I run remarketing ads, the businesses I run them for, they just see a pickup in people getting back to them, in interest. And it's hard to prove that, but adding that view through conversion column can help, because you can see some of these conversions that come in without a click. Interesting on videos, Chris, all that has to happen for a view through conversion to come from a video ad is an impression of the video. It doesn't even have to be of the video ad. It doesn't even have to be a view of the video
good
ad.
Good point, yeah.
It can just be an impression. So the view through conversions for me, Chris, I'm going to say I'm guilty of this. I'm going to say you're guilty of this as well.
Oh, really?
And as is every single other professional manager listening to the show. As a group, we have all underutilized YouTube advertising, underutilized display advertising outside of remarketing, because we haven't looked at view-through conversions enough. I think if we as a standard just pulled that up all the time, we would be more motivated to try the display keyword campaign, to try the YouTube campaign, because you can see some of these view-through conversions come in. Powerful, powerful column. And the one thing I'm taking away from this episode is that I'm going to be using view-through conversions a lot more to motivate myself to get more active on display outside of remarketing and YouTube. Do you accept my charge? Be honest.
I don't think I've made any mistakes. No.
Wow, you are fully back from last week, Chris. So yep,
I feel great.
Wow, I mean, I don't know what I should do here. We're at 42 minutes in. I was told before the show by one other person that I planned the show with, I don't know who it could be, that this is way too much for one episode. Way too much, and we need to do something about it.
But
Chris, were you right or were you wrong? We're at 42 minutes. You know, when we edit it down, it's going to be even shorter. what's the matter with you? Can't you just let me run the show when we start the show? I mean, why do you do that to me? I'm asking you a question here on the air. Why do you do that to me? Why do you cause me that grief? I'm used to it at this point. I anticipate it. Maybe it makes the show better because I've been known to be a little bit windy and go on and on. So it's a nice balance. I'll give you that, but it doesn't have to be like that right before we're about to go on the air. Why? Why do you do that, Chris? And will you accept that you were wrong?
I do that because I do enjoy how upset it makes you, because you spend so much time, you plan the episodes beautifully, and then there's always this one little hole and all, thing that always, because you have timers, you have so many indicators around you to not go over on time and to watch the time, and I know if I poke that beast, it's going to lead you to being upset, and it's fun.
I have over 25 post-it notes on my desk in front of me. That's not a lie. They're spread all around my keyboard and on my computer.
25.
Yeah, over 25.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Well, but Chris, I'm asking, you don't need to do that. You know, I get into mode to do the show. I'm pumped up to talk to you. And then the first thing I got to hear is, man, I wish I could use some other language on the show. Is that kind of, that kind of attitude, we'll call it, going into the show. It's not necessary. We were at 42 minutes. 42 minutes. And it'll be cut down with editing. So don't do that again.
Okay. I have one comment. There is one more section that I thought was a part.
Well, maybe you should leave it to the producer here to produce the show. I knew this was coming up. Ooh. It's not a big deal. Okay. There's no article on it or anything. It's just a cool thing that I saw. I wanted to tell my friend you if there was enough time at the end of our show. And so that's why I put it in. Oh my God, it's too much. It's too much. How are we going to fit it in? That's what I was dealing with before the show. Maybe that led to me throwing a Coke can.
Yep.
But it made me feel better.
Yeah. Well, Jason, you do a wonderful job.
Why don't you spend a little more time working on shaving instead of worrying about this show? Because it's getting out of hand now.
No, I've been told to keep it by multiple women who have told me that they find me to be much more rugged and manly. So
let us know in the comments, is Chris more handsome? And this is on YouTube, so people can see you. Give us your best gaze right here. Gaze into their eyes, Chris. Is he more handsome with the beard? Don't gaze like that. I'm getting uncomfortable. Or without the beard. No, Chris, you know, I accept your non-apology and we'll move on. But I just wanted to use this as an example here, that teachable moment, that I know what I'm doing here, okay? Yeah, almost 300 right. episodes into the show. So let's wrap up here, Chris, this is at the ad group level. There's a column you can add, again, at the ad group level, called Active Bid Adjustment. Not one I had ever seen before. Chris, I know you had never seen this before.
Oh, yes, I have.
Don't lie to me.
Yes, I have.
What do you do at night, Chris? Do you just go into every column and see what else could I talk about?
Are you talking about the filter whenever you're looking at the campaign level? You can choose to see all the ad group level bids as well?
No, buddy, because it wouldn't be at the campaign level. It's at the ad group screen. You're at the ad group level.
Okay.
There's a column you can add in there called Active Bid Adjustment.
Oh.
And what it'll do for you can see the screenshot.
I did not know about that. Here. Okay.
Okay, nice. So I'm glad I could.
You're right.
Share what I learned. I didn't know about it either, but it's you know, I think it's very helpful. So people can look this up. It puts a column on there. And again, it's only at the ad group level, as I understand it. But you can see I put a list of ad groups here. I put on the ad group bid adjustment column, or excuse me, active bid adjustment column, and it'll tell you which bid adjustments you have going for that ad group. So, and again, it's at the ad group level, Chris. Yeah. So if you're bidding on a location at the campaign level, a device at the campaign level, I don't think it won't show there. It won't, but it'll show what you're doing at the ad group level.
The ad groups are always so easy to forget that you have a device bid or some demographic bid.
Because when you go to look at device, when you go to look at location,
you do it at the campaign level.
Usually at the campaign level.
Yeah.
And of course, ad group overrides that or builds on it, I guess, with bid adjustments, I should say, it Well, no, I guess
no. It overrides.
It can override it. Yeah, it overrides because if you want to get rid of mobile or at an ad group level or whatever, it'll override. But you can see here, I've got a lot of them. I have none, so I know the data I'm seeing is clean data. But then on a couple of them, I've got a device bit adjustment. You know, I've got an age range and a gender bit adjustment. And if you're going into an account doing an audit, you're a new hire, you're going into your employer's account trying to get a feel for what's going on. You don't want to miss things. Cool column to add. It's pretty self-explanatory, but it'll kind of let you know if there's anything that you could be missing there at the ad group level. You like that one, Chris?
Yeah, you're right. I think I was vaguely aware of it. Probably would have said it doesn't exist. So yeah, it's a great little tool. I love it.
Chris, we got 6 inches of snow here. I just looked outside my window. The snow's coming up all the way over the tires, but the U.S. mail just delivered. Amazing. USPS, rain,
6 inches, snow,
whatever. Yeah, wow. They will always deliver. You know who else always delivers week after week is you, Chris. You know, I had to go after you a little bit on the show. Okay. It wasn't my plan, but the way you came at me before the episode started, I had to do it. So I got it out of my system. You could say we're even now. You could say I've got the upper hand, which is where I like to sit. Mm-hmm. So now I can lay on the flattery. Chris, truly you are great. I didn't give you that at the top of the show.
You didn't, like
I
always which do. Was.
I feel bad about that.
Which was
that.
Probably.
You noticed. Everyone noticed. So I had to give it back to you.
That
you
was
are the great Chris Schaefer.
That one hurt.
I know it hurt.
That was the bit. That was like, as soon as you said, like, and this is Chris Schaefer. And I was like, well, he really is upset. He really is.
Yeah. That was funny. You know, Chris. You know, but you know, you are the great Chris Schaefer. You bring it week after week. I appreciate that so much. The audience appreciates it so much. How can people reach you? How can people experience Chris Schaefer one-on-one? I know you do a few different things, so kind of tell us about them all and how can people get a hold of you?
I am most easily reachable at chrisschaefer.com. You can find me there. Look me up and you'll find options for personal consulting services. You'll find an option to join my Patreon, which is just $49 a month. Great group of people there that I interact with on a almost daily basis. And I also do management as well. That's my full-time job for Google Ads. And would not be here, sir, as much as you have glorified me, would not be here if it were not for you. So Jason, I appreciate you bringing the creativity. You are the Steve Jobs to my Wozniak. So I thank you for that. Please tell the people how they can get involved with Mr. Steve Jobs.
Thanks, Chris. RothmanPPC.com, Google Ads Management and Consulting. Now getting into e-commerce, doing a lot of that lately.
Oh.
And so if you have e-commerce, reach out. And also for our show, Paid Search Podcast, subscribe to us on YouTube. For everyone on there, so they know, we are not going to spam your subscription feed. Episodes come out every Monday in the subscription list, but we are putting out a lot of clip episodes, or clip videos, I should say. They don't hit the subscription feed, but if you go to the channel, you can see them there in the video list if you kind of want quick hitters, and of course the newsletter, which you can find the link in the description. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for watching, and we will be back next week with episode 299 of the Paid Search Podcast.